We are now recording. All right, we've got a couple of things in our agenda today. The first thing I want to start with is a conversation I had with some of you guys. I actually was going to do this before we record, but because there are people who are not on the call who will only catch the recording, I think it's important that I just, you know, do it now within the recording so that they can get this notice before they consume today's Q&A. So, I mean, it's been a fun journey. It is a fun journey. It's not like it's coming to an end. It's a fun journey. And a lot of you guys are really working on some cool things, obviously being the cool people you are with really exciting things that you're working on. But because we are trying to solve problems here, there are things that are unavoidable, like talking about specific deals we're working and that kind of thing. Obviously, in a normal world, those types of things are called sensitive things, and they have to be handled with that level of respect and confidentiality. So, and here, obviously, we're operating from a place of trust and everything. So I've had some discussions with some people in the group, and we all feel that it may be a good idea for us to have a standard NDA, a standard non-disclosure agreement that we all sign, so that, you know, to the extent that that can help, we kind of all feel comfortable that, you know, we can talk about our deals, knowing that we are protected. It's really just a standard thing, I guess, like any agreement. You know, somebody once said an agreement is actually not an agreement; it's a disagreement, because the only time where it becomes really important is when people disagree. And I think with NDAs, it's really just for comfort, because nobody really wants to steal anybody's idea. So that's the suggestion. I'm not going to open it for discussion, obviously, on the call. This is not the platform or forum for that. But I will reach out to all of you individually just to get your take. So I see Ed just joined us. Basically, what we're saying is that some people suggested that maybe because people are sharing specifics of the deals they're working on, it may not be a bad idea to have an NDA. So I'm leaving it here right now. You guys can think about it, but we can have one-on-one discussions, but like I said, I'm not gonna engage on it on this call, because this is a Q&A call, and I think we wanna use this time to really solve problems. So that's the first thing. The second thing I wanna talk about is that I've received some nice emails this week from people on the group, people sharing the things they're doing, and in some cases, sharing the results they are getting. So I think that's part of what these calls are about, just to celebrate and to congratulate each other when we start to get some results. It's a pity the person who I wanted to talk to and talk about, I think she just got kicked off the call, Amanda. Amanda sent me an email this week sharing a deal that she did last week, a partnership deal that she did last week. And as it happens, she also has another deal on her desk where she's been approached by another entity for a partnership. The first one, she went out to this business and she had a good proposition, as she said in her email, that it was through the things that she's learning in this program. She said she was just listening to the audios and she took notes. And she put together, you know, an outreach offer, and she went out and they ironed out the deal last Friday, the 26th, and the deal was done. And she had already started working, I think, when she sent me the email on Monday or Tuesday this week. I won't obviously get into the specifics of her deal. She's not here, so I think I would have asked her for her permission to read the email she sent me. But because she's not here, I will leave it there. And I'll go straight to the questions that you guys sent me. The way I'm going to do it, I'm just going to go through them in the order that they were sent to me. So if somebody sent me two questions, I'll just take the first one and then I'll move to the next person, take the first one, but I will take them in the order that they were sent to me. So the first questions I received, I got them yesterday from Nobuhle. The first question, she sent me two questions. So I'll tackle the first one and then I'll move on to the next person. And then I'll come back on the second round for these ones, for the second one. Her question was, and I'll just paraphrase what she wrote here. She said, if you are saying companies now are looking for a solution and it's a good way to do partnerships and stuff like that, what could be the solution that maybe they would be looking for? Maybe, and then she said, maybe a small example. All right, cool, good question. Yes, indeed, I did say that in this week's lesson, that one of the reasons why now is actually a good time to do partnerships is because companies, because of the chaos that's going on, almost everybody, we are all looking for solutions. And anybody who reaches us with an idea that could solve a problem for us, or at least that we perceive as a solution, we may be open to listen more. This one is a bit tricky in the sense that to give an example, I will give an example, I've got two answers, in fact, for this question. The first answer is, and you guys, of course, as we always do it, you are more than welcome to chip in. After I finish answering this, before I go to the next question, please, if you want to add something here, because that's what we are about. We want to add value. All of you guys have expertise. So, and you've seen some of these situations and your life experience can actually benefit someone. So I've got two answers. The first answer is, on this thing of solutions, it's the first one is more of a caution to say, simply because we know that companies are looking for solutions, we must just be careful not to get distracted to say, I wonder what solutions they are looking for. Let me look for problems and just propose solutions just randomly because somebody somewhere may be looking for solution. That can work, of course, like everything. You know, if you throw enough stuff on the wall, some of it is bound to stick. But the danger of that is that it could take you off the most important things in your life and in your business, because all of you are busy people. You've got very clear goals of the things you're trying to do. So it's important that you don't get distracted. This program is supposed to add to what you're already doing and to support you on the journey you are on. So that would be the one thing, just a small caution. And then the second thing, it's interesting because I talk about this a lot. The first example that just jumps, you know, to me when I see this question is something that I've done. I may think of another one as I'm talking. But the first one is really the example that we're all familiar with, the letter, the email that you guys saw that I sent to the JSE was a response to a challenge they were having. I saw them in Finwick that they were talking about how they want to grow Altex and how they were struggling with that. And I knew that there was something I could propose that could be beneficial to them and to me, you know, which ended up being the book that I did with them. So I think something that could be useful in terms of answering this question is that the companies that you're already looking at right now, one of the best source of what's going on in their heads is news. So literally the good almighty Google searching what these companies are featured in the media talking about right now. Because I may have said this earlier in our program that it's important to enter a conversation that is already taking place in your prospect's mind. So when you keep yourself abreast on the news of the companies that you wanna work with, those things, they just literally fall on your lap. You know, what's on their minds right now, and you can then tap into that. In fact, even the emails that I shared this week, the other email, the one to Marina, even though it was not about a problem, but it was, it had context to it. Because I think a problem, it forms part of what I'm, every week I talk about context, context, context. So it's hard to give an example. Literally, I can't think of anything right now because I can only think literally of the things that I've done. But some of you may have an example in your specific field where you've seen a problem and your proposition was a solution or could be a solution. I don't want to spend too much time here. I may add an example or two as we progress with our program. But if you want to add maybe an example here to this question, I've given the example of me and the JSE where I solved a problem for them. Do you guys want to add something else to this question by giving an example? Over to you.
It's slow. My take has always been and remains the fact that we should do that which we do. So I'm not going to be selling sanitizers and masks now. I'll still continue to coach because that's what I'm passionate about. That is what I believe my skill set brings to the table. That is what I am good at. So I'll continue to do that and I'll look for clients and prospects that I can offer that to, because I believe that is where I will bring value, because I'm wanting to bring value. So the question of what is the market looking for, to me, is to be juxtapositioned with what am I bringing? Because if we end up bringing what the COVID is looking for, then it means tomorrow when something else comes up, we will want to bring what comes up. So what are we about and who are we then? You know, so for me, I believe we continue to do what we do best and we continue to pursue that which we are passionate about. And we do it in the best way that we can. And I believe that's when we make the best contribution.
Wow, well said, Chloe. Thank you. I think that sums that. Great answer to a good question and relevant question. Thanks, Lo, for that contribution. All right. So we move on to the next question. And the next question is from you, Norma. It was an email that you sent me. And I will read it out just now. There it is. All right. I'm obviously going to just quickly scan to see if there are no things that you may not want to reveal on the call. Just let me quickly scan. Okay, so what you're saying here, Norma, is that you are waiting for a partner contact to confirm a 30-minute conversation which you requested last week so that you can get some more info for your research. In the meantime, would it be wise to shoot an email with what I feel is sufficient context of what I need them to partner on? And then you continue, Women's Month is coming up and I don't want to lose an opportunity to send a proposal to the partnership to host an online entrepreneurial event, bringing on board potential cross-border collaboration between another country and South African female entrepreneurs, just because you're waiting on a bit more research. Please help with direction. Okay, cool. So what you're basically asking is, here you are, you want to propose a partnership for an event you want to do where you bring two countries together, women entrepreneurs from these two countries, and you want this corporate, obviously, to partner with you on this. You've reached out to them, and you did send me an email about this earlier in the week. It sounded like it's someone you know at this company. You wanted to talk to her before you make your proposition to ask some questions for your research. So my answer to that is, today is the 2nd of July. Women's Month is next month. This may already be close to being late for something you want to plan next month, depending, of course, what the date will be. So my short answer is fire. Ready, fire, aim. Go for it. I would say with what you have, because you know this organization, you've worked with them before, and you know exactly what the value of what you've got could be for them. So my short answer is go right ahead, because then that will start a conversation. You will either get a response where there's a discussion that happens, or they will say no, or they will say yes. So rather than waiting, rather know where you stand, just generally. If you feel you've done enough research, except that you're waiting for this person, I would say it's time to shoot to fire. Over to you, Noma.
I responded on the group and I said, thank you. I'll do exactly that.
Okay, cool. Anything else on this?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you to Shaw's response, though. I think for me, I had a conversation with somebody today around what I do. So just being from a broadcasting perspective, and there's something that we can apply for in terms of doing a project. And I remember saying to him, but I'm not a producer. For me, I can do a script, put me in front of a camera. This is what I do best, you know. And you'll then get people saying, yeah, but maybe you should do this. And my response, very same as Hill was, can I do what I do best? And then we'll group with a few people who then deliver on the rest of the execution.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Noma. It looks like Ashraf keeps getting kicked out of the call. The next question that I have is from Chloe. Chloe, you sent me a message this afternoon. I've read through it. I see there's nothing sensitive, so I'll just read it. Afternoon, Sia, trust you're well and safe. Question for this afternoon or whenever you have a moment to respond. Please advise if I should share the one-pager brochure/profile as is with prospects, or should I rather consider the thinking plan approach? That's the question. Loved your email, loved your mail to Marina, thought it would certainly be a good angle. Just by the way, send the brochure to a company that I have been eyeing forever. HR director responded immediately, but just said, thank you. We will be in touch after COVID. Okay. Not the response I expected. Okay, cool. All right, I want to quickly touch on the last part. I've got bias for action just generally. One of the things I like to talk to my clients about is what I call imperfect action. So responses are great. In fact, next week, one of the things that I'll be talking about is the framework for a meeting, which will kind of talk a bit about, you know, what the responses that you get within the meeting context. But even responses you get from emails, it's always good to get some kind of a response that doesn't sound like a complete, hey, buzz off type thing. I think the response when someone says, thank you, we'll be in touch after COVID, we don't know what it means, to be fair. It's a believable response because people are working from home and there's so much going on. But I think what's going to happen is the next step. So a response like this, what would I do if I got it? I would reach back again, thank them for this response, and then confirm if it would be okay for me to reach out to them at a particular date. We don't know when after COVID is. Basically just to say, can I touch base in October, you know, just to check how things are, you know, on your side. It's the thing is October is kind of far enough for somebody to say, sure. And it's a reasonable time frame because we really don't know. After COVID could be next year, could be 2 years from now, and you just don't want to be in limbo. So I don't like to hold on to maybes. I've got a thing about something that sounds like a maybe. So I'd rather have some kind of a commitment of an expectation. If they say, sure, yeah, touch base in October, rather than saying, waiting to hear from them, I always want to leave the next action on my side. So that would be how I would handle this response. I would reach back, thank them for responding so promptly, and then I would then put an ask with a hope that they will respond and say no problem. And then I would put it on my calendar to reach out to them in October so that when that date comes, put a reminder on my phone. When that time comes, it becomes another opportunity for you to reach out to them. And even then, I would look for a bit of news. Even that time, I would look for what's going on around their company, because that could be something I would add to that email to still have some kind of context and interest to show that I'm interested in what's going on with them, you know? So that's how I would handle that that response. So I hope that helps. And then your first question, or your question rather, about your one-page profile. You want to comment? Oh, hi, Zigu.
Hi, Sia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I saw your mic was live there. Were you saying something?
Yeah, am I allowed to ask Flo a question?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
You know, I think there was the world BC, and that is not before Christ, but actually before COVID, and there is the world after COVID. And I think the changes that COVID has brought to the world are so, so significant that literally how you think of things, how you pitch things to everybody has to take into account that COVID has had an impact. And I think in your shoes, I would actually think through how what I am trying to pitch can help a company to navigate the COVID space. So what value do you add to the company as they're thinking through COVID? Because rest assured, every single company right now is thinking, okay, when we launch, how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? How do we protect our staff? How do we protect our... Everybody's mind is focused on COVID. So if you wait for post-COVID, there is no post-COVID. There is not going to be post-COVID. And I would rather tweak my idea to the current situation with an adaptability or the capacity to evolve even as the situation evolves. Because I think Sia's point of leaving it open-ended is correct, but I think I'll just actually add that the expectation that the COVID crisis, once it's over, when it's over, we're still going to be 30% down on our jobs. The economy will have shrunk significantly. A whole lot of things will have changed that didn't exist 3 months ago. So yeah, that's just my two cents.
Wow. Spot on.
So Zibu, to your point, my take is, and perhaps my observation, is that pre-COVID and post-COVID, two different scenarios, two different eras, because even the questions that COVID has brought to companies will require new answers, or what was relevant in February for most companies is just irrelevant today and will be irrelevant beyond COVID. So if somebody responds and says, let's chat after COVID, that's what I was saying to Sia, it was such a response that I didn't expect, because and perhaps wrong or right, I should have expected an answer, perhaps, and I got an answer. So for me, what was a bit disappointing was, how do I now, because as you are correctly pointing out, that perhaps the needs of the company or the market is changing. So perhaps I adjust then with what is the requirement now, because the requirement then, because I've been eyeing the client for a while with a perfect solution then, which is obviously not relevant now. But if somebody says, let's talk after COVID, I mean, that could be, let's never talk, kind of. But okay, how do I then come back now with a revised solution or a revised approach when you've clearly said, wait a bit, perhaps we are dealing with X, Y, Z. And I'm sensitive that this particular client is dealing with a lot now. I know that. So I'm not also wanting to push beyond the point which is professional or sensitive, but I'm also still saying, hear me out, kind of. So there are those dynamics that COVID has brought an era that will need new answers, new questions asked, and new solutions. Yeah, and I hear what Siya is saying, and perhaps one needs to just look at both, because again, you don't want a person that comes through with a solution at all costs, because that is also a bit insensitive, especially now with the spend being as sensitive as it is.
Okay, how well do you know your client?
Very well.
If you know your client very well, do you understand what the challenges are that they're dealing with, and are you able, even if it means scratching up an entirely new solution, are you able to propose something that responds to their needs at present, and, you know, as I mentioned earlier, can actually evolve with them? Because if you're recognizing that they're a little bit swamped trying to navigate this world, to be able to say to them, have you thought of this? Have you thought of this? Have you thought of this? Will go a long way. I was earlier today talking to a lady that I've been kind of, I do some coaching and had kind of, you know, thinking through and talking through things with her for, I guess, possibly the past couple of years. But she has a business where she does training, and she's doing training specifically in the telecom sector across Africa, you know, on, you know, soft skills, customer care, that sort of thing. And for some reason, just her business, I don't know, maybe they figured that they had, you know, given their client, their staff all the training that they could need. So her business had just been quiet, like, you know, not just quiet, but dead for a long time. Amazingly, COVID, she is getting calls left, right, and center. And with her, it was really a question of just being visible, because she maintained the relationships, but she would also be there to talk with them about various things, and kind of became a little bit of a go-to person for them to think through what they were doing. So you've got now the telecoms companies that are looking at doing, you know, COVID-related support to customer service centers and so forth. And they're not paying her yet, but they brought her in to be like, can you be part of our team as we think around how we're going to do this? And just today she was telling me that they called her to come in next week. It's a pittance that they're offering her, especially because normally she gets paid in dollars. So you can imagine, oh, you know, that versus, you know, they're just giving her a very, very small allowance. But for her, the whole thing is, there is a revolution that is happening. There is a change in how this business is going to run their affairs. I need to make sure I am in this on the front end and perceived as a solutions-oriented person. And I'm actually perceived to be helping them to navigate the space, because whenever it is that we get to whatever the other side of this is going to constitute, you know, I will be well and truly, you know, well positioned. I'll be firmly planted in there. And so there'll be certain things that she herself might not even have thought about, which she has become the go-to person to handle because, simply because she was there. But the whole point is, what is the entry point now, which might seem small, but if that small entry point right now is what is drowning the person's thinking, particularly if it is something around COVID, is that a conversation that you can start? So you park what you had said previously. You say, thanks very much. You know, hear you on this other thing. But I just wanted to say, if you want somebody to work through or to think through or to strategize on such and such and such, or I actually had some ideas around how to handle this or that issue related to COVID. Either way, you don't come there asking them for something, but you actually go there offering them something, which is a solution to their present crisis. Yeah, I would kind of think that would give you at least an audience, which at this point is what you probably need.
I hear you, and thanks for the contribution. The challenge, though, is the person that I'm talking to might be on their way out, which I think is the major challenge at this stage with the client in question. The whole layout and retrenchments and layoffs is the conversation that is underway. So it is a bit sensitive. But I take what you're saying, and thanks for the contribution. Now that we are talking about it, I'm actually persuaded to perhaps go back with the offer of can we chat in October, November, because I'm thinking that by then, whether the colleague that I'm talking to will be around or not, the new colleague will be on board. But thanks for the contribution.
No, you're welcome. And wasn't thinking on the timing, I think. Professor, yeah. Do you have anything to say? Because I think maybe I've said a little too much. Sia, you are the professor.
That was awesome. That was great. Everything both of you guys said, I think these are the conversations that enrich the program, because everything you said makes sense. And I think even some of the things that Chloe was saying in response within certain contexts, they also are valid considerations. So I'm happy with this, and I think people are gonna hear this recording. All of the points that were raised are very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty. Let's move right on to the next question. Oh, I actually still had to answer Chloe's question. And the question was about the proffer. You asked me if you should send your current one pager, which I've seen, or put it together in the format of the thinking plan. So the short answer is no. Please use your current proffer. For the most part, the thinking plan is really what it says. It's your plan, it's our plan. You know, it's the type of thing, it's almost like what Stephen King says, when you write with the door closed, you know, so that no matter what you write, even your mother or your grandfather or your kid or whoever cannot see it. So you write literally from the depths of your heart. So that's what the thinking plan is for, is for you, for your eyes only, so that you can be as honest as you can about what it is you want and what this whole thing means to you. So the profile that I've seen that you showed me, I think it's perfect. It can go as it is, because it will just be part of the real persuasion is always in the email that you send. So I hope that answers your question, Chloe.
Fire donkey, thank you. It does, thanks.
All right. Yeah. Okay, great stuff, thanks. Cool. So the next question that I got was from Ashraf today. And he says, hi, Sia, please on the call, advise of the easiest way to secure a business email to communicate with universities. Please outline how simple this is. Thanks, Ashraf. I actually don't know the answer to this question. Or maybe I don't understand the question. So, but Zibu may be able to answer this question, because I know she is dealing with universities or in the past she's dealt with universities, including now. So maybe Zibu, I don't know if you want to comment on this one, how you go about it, and then we'll unpack it further with Ashraf.
I'm sorry, Ashraf, I just need to understand, when you say a business email, are you talking about the business of the company you're trying to get a hold of, or your own business email?
No, I'm speaking. Hi, everyone, firstly.
Hey, Ash.
I got on the call a little bit late. So what my email is asking for is, I currently have just my Gmail in place. Since I quit my job end of April, and I'm a non-techie, so you know, setting up of websites and all of those type of things, that's not really my game. So I just wanted to know, what is the easiest way to set up a business email where when I send an email to different universities, they can see it is coming from a business rather than a personal email?
Okay. I completely misunderstood that question. But Zibu, thanks for asking that. Maybe you can go ahead. I'm sure you had a reason for asking.
No, I'm hoping that you have an answer because I am not a techie person either. Yeah.
Maybe Ed can help us.
But yeah, it does. I actually raised my hand that I'm going to jump into that one. Sorry, am I not audible enough? Can you hear me now?
You're loud and clear.
We can hear you, thank you.
So that one, Ashraf, is quite simple. The very cheap and dirty and easy way, which is through AfriHost. What we'll do is after the call, I'll send out, I saw an email coming in from Nomalanga. I think I'll use the same thread, or I'll start a new one and send you the instructions. I mean, at the most, you're looking at paying something like 29 to 45 rand a month to register your domain, and it comes with free email.
Okay, so here's the thing, is I actually have an AfriHost website, AfriHost domain. I just haven't, it's just blank at the present moment. So I've got the ashrafjamie.com and I've got the ashrafjamie.co.za.
Okay.
I don't have the email set up yet, so.
So any domain that you register with AfriHost comes with 15 emails by default. So you can actually set up an email. So I think we can take that offline. I can help you out with that. If you have the access details to your domain, we can set it up in 10, 15 minutes and you'll be up and running.
Cool. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, guys. Okay. So I guess that's that. That was the only question I got from you, Ashraf. I assume that was your only question for now.
Yeah, let's go now.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, man. So Noah just sent me two questions. So I'm going to go back to her second questions. So to her second question. In terms of having the correct details to contact, if you don't get a clear direction, can you maybe go to their branches and ask what you were looking for online? I guess the answer to this one, at least from my perspective, is that it really depends, because it's you know, if you want a response from your outreach, it needs to be, you need to reach out to somebody who can actually give a response to your proposition or request. For instance, in every company, everybody who works there can say no to anything. Everybody, even the security guard, if you come to them at the gate and you say, hey, I'm selling this to your company, they can say, no, we're not interested. So everybody can say no, but only a certain number of people or specific people have the authority to say yes. So it really depends what it is, how much you want to share with the branch, because in most cases they don't have the authority. Depending on what it is, it may be something that really needs head office. But if you need information, if you need contact details, you can ask, obviously, for that, because they may have access to the other person's details. But my experience with companies is that people generally don't give out people, particularly senior people's contact details to strangers. So I think the answer really is that it depends. It depends what it is you want to ask them. And it depends if they have the power to give you any answer other than no, because anybody in any company can give you a no. They've got the authority to say no. Okay, so that's me. What's your take? I can see your mic is live there.
So I'm a huge, huge believer in informationals, where you try to connect with people who might not necessarily be the decision maker, but they will be a person who is familiar enough with the company, the protocol, how decisions are made, how you navigate the bureaucracy whatsoever, so that when you are meeting with this person, you're not asking them for something that might be impossible for them to deliver, but you're asking them for information which they have in abundance. You know, I work again, I think, on the principle that people generally like to help, particularly if they, particularly if it makes them look good. You know, makes them look good, makes them look like they know what they're doing. It recognizes the import of whatever value it is that they're adding to your particular interaction, which I think kind of recognizes whatever it is that they've been doing over the past X number of, you know, years in working in that company. When you just seek information, you're not seeking the decision, particularly a decision that, you know, has cost implications for the company, but you're just trying to understand how a company works. You know, how do you do your communications? How do you do your thinking around X, Y, and Z? That sort of thing. I think there's a lot of value in having those meetings even before you try to have the meeting with the decision maker, because that allows you to better prepare your pitch going forward. I don't know if that's, you know, helpful.
I think it is. Maybe Nobuhle can tell us if that helps it, but I think that's valuable. Nobuhle, does that help? You can switch on your mic and tell us so that, yeah.
Yes, it did. And it was very clear.
Good.
Yes. Okay. No, awesome. It's only that the reason that I came up with that question is only that can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I just saw on Google, since I wanted to write to Liquabot, so I saw the CEO, they've written there. That person they wrote there online is the municipal manager of the district municipality. And then I was a little bit confused now. If I was lost, like, hey, now what's going on? I thought maybe the CEO, the manager, the CEO of Liquorboard is now municipal manager. Now I was confused with the information that you are receiving from Google. That's why I came up with that question.
I get you.
I just wanted to double sure.
Get you. No, that's great. In fact, now that you mention it, I may know someone in East London who may be helpful in this regard. But we'll touch base on WhatsApp about that.
Perfect. Thanks.
You just reminded me of something. I think that was very good. What Zibu said was great, and I agree with it. I've actually never done it, but it does work. I can see how it can work for sure. All righty. I don't know if you guys have other questions, because there's something I picked up that I wanted to share with you on this call. There's an email that I came across on Facebook where this person in this particular group where this guy is teaching them how to write emails. So, and he teaches some really good stuff, but I've never really used my material. So I won't be teaching it in our program, because I've never, with the thing with emails, you always have to be you. You know, you can't put on stuff and try to sound a certain way when it's not authentically you. And I think this is what this person was trying to do. So I'm going to put it up on the screen so that you guys can see it. And I'd love to get your comments on it. Can you guys see the email? If you could just type yes on the chat, just so that I know that you guys can see it. Okay, let me see that. Okay, great. I see your messages. All right. So here's the email. Okay. This was a lady who said, everybody, so they were like, there was this thread of comments, people were commenting on this email. I just didn't want to take screenshots of that because I figured on this call, we don't need their comments. We've got our own here. But I really thought it was important for me to bring it here. So subject line, as you can see, Gary, want more HVAC clients. I assume that's stuff that reads HVAC clients for obviously whatever business Gary runs. So it says, and then this person goes, Mr. Gary, exclamation. How the heck are you? I see you, I mean, you guys can read the email. I think I mustn't read the email, but what I would like, once you've read it, I would love for you to switch on your mic and just give your take on this email. I don't wanna influence your judgment of the email. So I want you to just comment from your core, how you see this particular email. Anybody? Yet, or are you still reading?
I think it's a crazy email, yeah. This guy
it's
is
a
just,
crazy email, Ash.
Yeah, it's a crazy email. This guy is like he's shooting from the hip, and he doesn't even know who Gary doesn't even know who he is.
Can you be specific? Let's look at the email. So maybe for everybody's benefit, I want you to comment like this so that this becomes really helpful. I want you to say, you see that line where this person is saying this? I think that's crazy because of this reason. Can you do it that way, Ash? And anybody else?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, well, firstly, okay, subject line. Gary, exclamation. What? Want more HVAC clients for business name. Okay, so that part of want more clients, I think it is the subject line is a little bit provocative, so he is possibly speaking to a need or want of this guy. I just think the exclamation mark is a little bit much. Mr. Gary, exclamation mark again. How the heck are you? That is that's a little bit, that's being too informal too soon. I see you have a specific niche of contractors and I wanted to share an idea with you. So there's no kind of, it's a kind of like a very cold introduction. There was no kind of like, introduction via like a common person. So this person is just coming kind of like out of the blue. Yeah, you must be wondering who the hell I am. Yes, I'm certain Gary would be wondering who the hell that person is. A large part of my business is working with brands to help them get more clients. That just sounds quite needy. In that it's not coming from a perspective of, you know, what Gary's needs and wants are. I am a content marketing writer. You know, it's again, it's nothing based on what the client's needs are. Here's an idea for your business to capture all the HVAC plumbing clients in Burlington. That probably is you know, one of the things that Gary's business would, I mean, every business wants more clients. But I think, you know, just by starting so abruptly with no common ground and shooting out the blue, he has done himself a disservice. And so now Gary might be very resistant to read further on. And then he's now going into already making some recommendations after, you know, starting the conversation off on the wrong note. So those are my ideas.
Great. Thank you, Ash. Thank you for that contribution.
It's a pleasure.
Zivu, I see your mic is live. Can you? Yeah. What's your take?
So, you know, let me preface this by admitting that I am old school. And also kind of my exposure in the business world has been in a more formal culture.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I do know that New Jersey and Brooklyn, and not too sure which part of New Jersey it is, but there's a certain, have you ever watched The Cake Boss? There's a show called The Cake Boss.
Yes.
If anyone likes to, right. So you see, what's his name? No, his name is not Gary. My brain is like Gary. His name is not Gary. But in any case, the guy in the cake bar, you see his personality is a little bit blunt. And keeping in mind actually that he's had to soften it a little bit for television. But regardless, the personalities in, you know, New Jersey can be a little bit blunt. But the thing is, I don't know who is going to read this email, because I don't know that person. First of all. Secondly, when I read this email, if I get as far as reading the first line, I'm like, this person is going to say to me, how the heck are you? What kind of a business plan, business strategy can they offer me if this is the language that they use when they themselves, to me, demonstrate that they do not know how to engage with an unknown quantity? If you, Professor, had not made us read this email, I would not have gone past that first line. Mm. Because I just like, okay, fine, this is, you know, just keep it moving. Whoever you're dealing with, I'm probably not going to be able to deal with them. And again, I preface this with saying I'm old school, because I notice when I look at people on social media these days and so forth, there's a lot of stuff that they put out there that I was taught that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Regardless, I just think to a random, or maybe he does know this person, maybe that's how Mr. Gary speaks, you know, so maybe it'll work, but yeah, it's not something like it. I just think, honestly, I'm looking, I'm like, wow, this is really rude. And this is the thing, the word heck is another way of saying how the hell are you?
Mm.
And depending on where a person is coming from, that I can actually.
And then she continues. And then she continues and says, "You must be wondering who the hell I am." Clearly, Gary doesn't know her. That's why she would say, "You must be wondering who the hell I am."
Yeah. It's just, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think we all have different exposures and so forth. But I do think when you're reaching out to people you do not know, it's important to not offend. It's just important to not offend them. Worse than if you're doing, ask people for a favor. Just, you know, yeah.
Can't agree more. I don't know. I see there are quite a few of you guys that want to comment. Please go ahead.
It's Norma here. For me, having received a lot of these kind of emails, I would actually not even go through it. It looks like a scam email, because a lot of these guys...
Maybe help us understand what you mean by that.
For me, it doesn't look realistic. There's just too much overpromise already on a first email. I don't know you and I'm promising. So I'm saying my exposure to scam emails, those people that tell you I've got a business plan and this is the amount of money we can share and whatever, I just honestly delete. So my personal experience, I would take this as a scam and just not even bother responding. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Mama.
Colleagues, Mina, I see a potential person here to coach. So I'm very interested in whoever. this person was not coached by SEA. This person did not do research. This person is not serious, but this person needs us to do business with. So yeah. That's my
I like that show. Who else wants to chip in?
It's me.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got both Ed and Nobuche.
No, Nobuche can go first.
Okay. Thanks. Can I say something?
Yes.
You know what? Yeah, since you said we must be ourselves, we must be unique, we must be different. I think this guy is himself. It's just being himself. Even if you can coach this one is going to be like this. So the only thing that I would like to say, whether the CEO is going to receive this email, whether he's going to do something about this, or he's just going to chuck it in the bin, but this person can close a deal. It's just being realistic from the onset.
Really? No, wow, that's a different take from everything take so far. Tell us why. Why do you think this person can close a deal and they're being realistic? Why do you say that?
He is not like acting, good day, sir. I am so and so, I am doing well. I'm from this and this. Those kind of things are boring.
Okay.
Maybe the person who is receiving or reading the email won't even reach the headline. We have experience in this. I am qualified in this and this. I have PhD and what? I have written articles of so and so. But here, it's capturing. Because we are assuming.
During the approach, let's just say, as you say, those first three lines, do you think they are being effective in being who they are and in getting somewhere with someone?
Yes, Sia, because this person, there are no strings attached here. Read the email or don't. But you will be surprised when this person is coming back and saying, I've closed 15 deals with this email. When you are here taking your emails to the professor of so-and-so, who's a good writer, what, with a strong language, words, bombastic words that need dictionary, because you are scared, you are writing to the CEO of Vodacom, you are writing to the Director General of Social Development, so you need to prepare. You don't sleep the whole night. This one took only 5 minutes, got the deal.
And they just
want to write. How did you write the email? Oh, hey, look at me. I'm a qualified. I've got degrees. How many degrees do I have? And then this chap will tell you that I've never finished my grade 10. Those are the differences that matters in life. It's this simplicity.
Maybe
the good days say, oh, madam. And then at the beginning, regards. It's not working for him.
Let's do this. I really like your take because it's really different. And so what, maybe give me just two things now before I go to Ed. One, what do you think, I think you've probably said this already, but if maybe you could just sum up, what is the one thing that you think is good about this email? That's one. Two, if there was something you could change from just you being you, because you're not, I don't, this obviously this person was being themselves, as you say. You probably wouldn't say some of the things this person says. So why would you change? So what's good about it, and what would you change if you were advised or asked rather to advise this person to help them improve the email?
At least I would advise him. At least that's the greeting part. At least the heck is the strategy language. It's inappropriate here on this email. And also, but then what I like about it, he just went straight to the point. He has an idea. He didn't fumble. You find out that you are going to
bullet points. Or she. Actually, it's a lady. I must.
Oh, it's a lady. Okay, okay.
The lady who wrote the email.
What I like about her, she didn't fumble. She just went straight to the point. He has an idea. She never said, I'm thinking of, or as I am proposing this kind of, because of, you don't, what is it exactly that you want to say? I want to say this simple, then move on.
Great.
Because when you are saying, yes, start an interview, before start an interview, obviously the CEO, whoever's going to receive this email, already know what is the idea.
Get you. Thank you so much, Mamusha. That was an entertaining take. I really enjoyed your take on this. Ed, over to you.
Yeah, I think I would also say that I'm also totally old school. So I'm one of those email snobs. So for starters, after the subject, I would not have opened this email.
Just from the subject line.
From the subject line, I would not have opened this email.
What put you off about it?
We must also understand that everyone is in business to grow their business, but then at the same time, there are people who want to have a niche set of clients. And if I am that Gary who has from what I've seen, he is dealing with contractors, and I've got my 5 contractors that are doing massive sales for me. I don't need anyone else to come and taint my sales strategy. So as soon as you say to me, want more HR clients, when I don't, I'll not read that email because it's irrelevant to me. I'll move on to the next one.
It's got assumptions all around it, that headline, basically.
True. And, you know, being I don't know how to say this, being a Zulu descendant, when someone has an exclamation mark after my name, I feel like they're shouting at me. Mm. So for me, you've already pissed me off. There's no point in you reading your email.
get you. Anything else?
Yeah, but I think I like the approach. It's a little bit, some part of the approach, I think it's a little bit bold. And from looking at the entire email, so the fact that you said we should read the entire email, I sort of may understand why she would have put it that way. Being a Brit and probably dealing with those Bucky Brigade people, that is their lingo, and they probably would have accepted that kind of lingo. Funny enough, I was in a meeting today, and yes, ladies, I'm going to say something which may not be correct for some of you, but I was in a meeting today and one person said, Ed, do you know the reason why you failed to secure growth in South Africa? And I'm like, no, why do you think I failed to secure growth? He says, because the business that you're in is full of Afrikaners, and Afrikaners want a chick with big boobs to come and sell to them. And when you rock up as Ed, nobody wants to listen to you, so they switch off at the moment that you come in. So looking at the fact that this is someone writing in Burlington, and they probably understand the Bucky Brigade type of people who Gary would be, and that's why they would say something like, how the heck are you? So they may not know who Gary is, but they may know how the particular field or how the specific profession works. So I would say that probably they understand that profession, and that's why they approached it that way. So one way of looking at it.
No, I get you. So let me share what was said in the message that she put out, and maybe some of the comments that came from people. So her thing was that she's been in this program learning how to write emails. I think it's a course about emails, and she didn't know Gary. She didn't know him from a bar of soap. She just found this list of names in this industry. She was not even from that industry, but she thought she could help any business get. She said she was writing to various sectors or various industries, but she was she was basically targeting them as in groups. So she came to this space where Gary operated as one of the targets that she was going after. And and she thought it was a good email to write, not just to these type of person. She just thought it was, it had a shock factor. And she thought it was familiar and casual. So people were commenting that actually it's not familiar. If familiar could be used to describe it, would be way over familiar to say to somebody, how the heck are you? And also to play the guessing game, saying you must be wondering who the hell I am, you know, instead of introducing yourself and say, who, if I may use the language, who the hell you are and why the hell you are contacting the person, rather than playing games with somebody who doesn't have time. You're saying to them, you must be wondering. So that was those were some of the comments that she was getting. Another one was the thing about, I see you have specific niche and contractors. In our language, in our group, it would be an attempt at putting some context to why I'm contacting you, because I see this, but it falls short because it's still broad. This email is an email that could have gone to 100 people without anything being changed other than the name and the email address. So it's not personal. It's not specific. It doesn't say if I receive it. It doesn't say why you are contacting me specifically. You know, why are you contacting me? What when you say I see, where did you see that? And what made you think that because you saw that this email would be something that I may be interested in? There's got to be context, right? And then right at the bottom, you don't know this person. And then you say, let me know if you are interested in my services and we can hop on a free 30-minute Skype call. That's risky. I know that these days, when we reach out to people, we ask for meetings, of course. But it's a bit patronizing to say to somebody, a free 30-minute call, you know, because we don't talk like that. When I've got a good reason to contact you and there's real context why I would like us to have a conversation, I don't say to you, hey, it will be a free call, you know. That's, first of all, that's just screams salesy, and it, you know, and it's a bit insulting to my time, because it's not free to me, because my time is probably worth that 30 minutes. If I had invested it in my business, doing things that actually make me money would be worth a lot of money. So it's not actually a free 30 minutes. You're not doing me a favor by getting on this Skype call with me. So everything, I mean, about this email, there's a lot. In fact, I'm going to say everything. There are some positives in this email. The biggest problem is how it starts, because it puts you off right off the bat. By the time this person gets to the ideas, because let's just say Gary indeed was looking for clients, and some of these things that are proposed here by this lady who is a content marketing writer. Let's just say some of these were actually really good ideas that somebody in Gary's position could benefit from. And most people would not even get to that because of how it just starts on a very wrong footing, rubbing the person off the wrong way. I mean, I was even shocked when I read this on social media. When I read it, I was like, how the heck are you? I'm like, if somebody addressed me like that, delete. Okay. But anyway, Oh, back to you guys.
Do you have like more of the backstory? I mean, I'd actually be interested to know if she was able to get with this.
Can I say something, Zibu? I forgot one thing, and I'm sorry to cut you. She got a response. I forgot to mention that. She actually, Gary responded to this email. I think that's something. And here was Gary's response. Take me off your list. That was his response. Take me off your list. So that's the response that she got from this email.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty. Okay, guys. I just wanted to share that with you. Since we've been talking a bit about outreach in recent times, I just thought here's another way, maybe not to follow when writing an email. I don't know if you guys have any questions before we wrap up. Yes, Ash.
I have one question. So, you know, I have briefed you about the partnership I have with that coach in the US.
Yes.
So, in any case, I have in the past sold some of his instruments to the University of Johannesburg. So there's an industrial psychologist there, that's his title, industrial psychologist, who has just basically in the past ordered a couple of instruments from me. So I was thinking that this guy is probably an excellent target to approach. But I don't know where he fits in the bigger scheme of things at the University of Johannesburg. From the emails I received from him, it seems like at the University of Johannesburg, they might have some kind of a training program for career coaches. And so he orders this instrument from that kind of a context. Do you think that I could, shoot an email through to him just to clarify what his role is in the context of the University of Johannesburg, to find out whether you would be the appropriate person to discuss, this kind of partnership opportunity, whereby the university basically pulls the opportunity for me in return for a profit share. Just by the way, I went back to my business partner, and he was also of the view that would make the best.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that last part, Ash. You went back to your business partner, and then I didn't hear what you said.
And he was of the view that is probably the most sensible way to approach this, to get the university to do most of the work and get secure all the seats in return for like a 1/3 cut.
Mm-hmm. So your question was,
this guy who's
at UJ, who's been ordering what you call instruments from you guys, which it looks like he's involved in some kind of career coaching program within the university. So you want to find out exactly what his role is there and if he may be the right person to approach with regards to a partnership between yourselves, you and your business partner, and UJ.
Yes. So that's the first part of the question, and okay. then the second part of the question is, in terms of structuring the deal. So in the last discussion, I mentioned that the deal would be split three ways between myself, my business partner, and the university. Just your thoughts on maybe different ways to structure the deal that would make it sufficiently attractive to the university. And I think in last week's call, you already mentioned that no numbers or no particular details with regards to deal structuring goes into the email. It is better discussed, offline or in person or on the phone.
Got you. Sure. Okay. The first question, my answer to your first question is I would contact the guy, find out. But I would be a bit careful in how I approach him. I would approach him as a follow-up to what he has already done. Basically, hey, Gary, since we're talking about Gary, I noticed that you've purchased this item, that item, that item. Ashraf, in fact, he knows you. I assume he's been emailing you to purchase these. But if he knows you. Okay, cool. So you basically say, because he knows you know that he bought this thing. So he's like, based on the fact that you've bought these things, I'm just curious, how are these things relevant for you? You know, rather than it being a question about him, but it becomes a question about your tools. So that he says, oh, your tools help me in this way, in this way, in this way. Then that starts a conversation of you. Then what he does becomes the next question that you ask. So you start him at a, because it's very low hanging and it's very unthreatening when you say to somebody, hey, I noticed that you bought this thing from me. I'm just curious. It's almost as if you are asking for feedback about your own product rather than, because some people are very protective about their space. Why are you so interested in what I do? You know, so just so that you start on the right footing, I would enter that discussion from the product side of things. You've bought this from us, which is a fact. You cannot, it's an undeniable fact, and it's non-invasive in terms of it as a question or as a statement. Then you say, I'm just curious. I'd like to know, how are these products that you buy from us, how are they assisting you, and how are they relevant to you? It's a very open kind of question, which kind of lets him talk. And then you can take it from there. Then it becomes a follow-up where you maybe say, do you mind if I call you? Without having this back and forth, if you're going to email him, do you mind if I give you a call? And then you can have a chat with him. So that would be my approach to that. Then the second thing about the deal and structuring the deal, I find them, and I'm talking now from experience and observing sometimes where these types of deals that you have with your business partner tend to go wrong. There's always this person who's a representative, and then there's the guru who's got the material, who's the most important player in all of this thing, you know. Particularly people in the training and teaching space, there's a certain, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, but there's a certain element of self-importance that we tend to have. So the first person to discuss this with is him, is your business partner. And I would start by understanding, you probably already know this anyway, if he already has an affiliate fee, like an affiliate percentage that he pays to people who sell his products, like his affiliate partners and JV partners and whatever the case, which you probably already know, you know, which is probably the deal you guys have. So I would start there to clarify, to confirm that if it's not 100% clear right now. And then in the context of the university, because they'll be bringing clients, you know, these are people who will be paying customers to him, to his product, to his program, would he offer them the standard affiliate commission for every person they bring? Because that's important for that to be clear. If, let's say the affiliate commission is 40%, which it could be, because some companies, in terms of affiliate commissions, they tend to be very high because they've got other products on the back end. They know that even if I'm generous on the front end, I acquire the client or the customer, I will be able to sell them other things where I won't have to pay commission to anybody. So I will actually recoup more money from the back end of the products that that I sell to them. And of course, most people look at the lifetime value of a client. The front end deal is not always the biggest transaction they do. They look at the lifetime value. What else can these people buy from me over their lifetime as my client? So I would definitely clarify that. Would he pay the university?
Let me just finish
this point, Ash, before I forget it. Then I'll come. So I would clarify that. And then the other thing that would be important to understand is what then would that mean for you? Because he may say, well, if I'm paying them 40%, that's all I'm prepared to pay. And besides, they're the ones who brought the client. If you bring a client, then that's what I'll pay to you. But if they bring the client, I'll pay them that. That may be one of his answers. The other answer may be, well, these are your people. You know, you are the one who's bringing in this partner. So whatever I pay you, you guys can split. You can negotiate with them based on what you will get, and then you can agree together who gets what percent between you and the university. He may say that. He may say, let's just go three ways, you call partners or whatever. But the most important part to have an agreement with here, first and foremost, is your partner.
So you need
to be clear what you want.
Yeah, so this is what I put in an email to him. I told him a three-way partnership model where the third party is responsible for basically filling the workshop. Then we talk about a three-way profit split. He said, all I would need are my expenses, business class airline ticket, and local hotel for my trip to South Africa as my part of the split. So that's basically what he needed as his part of the
split. I'm not sure I understand that. Is he saying you guys will split this three ways and his expenses will come from his share, or is he saying his expenses will be covered and then you guys will split?
So all he's saying is he would need basically all of his expenses to be split. So basically after all his expenses have been covered, then the profits get split.
Okay. I think it at the end of the day, it depends on you guys what makes each party happy. Because at this stage, the university is not involved. You can only negotiate with them based on what's on the table, what's possible, what you guys are prepared to offer them.
So I can tell you why I read into this email like this is prior to this this idea of where the university fills the entire event themselves. The whole agreement between me and him was I would then be responsible for filling the event. The first thing is we cover all of his expenses, and then me and him split the profit.
Mm.
So now, instead of just me and him splitting the profit, it would be we cover all of his expenses, and then it's a three-way split between the three parties. I just wanted to understand from you, based on your partnering experience, how attractive do you think that could be
I've got a simple answer to that.
Yeah.
And again, yeah. I speak I speak for myself. I always have to say that because all of us may have different experiences on these things. For me, I think he's being very generous, honestly speaking. And I think you are the biggest winner in the deal. Because yeah, if the university is going to provide the venue, bring the people to the venue, and they've worked, they've literally single-handedly put together this thing, they get their third of the profit. And you, what was your contribution? Was obviously finding him, having a relationship with him, finding the university. Yeah, you're the connector. So from your position, I would say it's a good deal.
Yes. I like a good deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I must say he is a generous person. The way that I have communicated things with him is basically my role here would be to connect him with as many universities, firstly in South Africa, and then growing and expanding the tools into the rest of Africa, which is a hugely untapped market at the present moment.
Got you. Cool, but does this answer your question then?
Yes. Okay, so cool. I'm definitely gonna start with the University of Johannesburg first, because if they can get 24 people on board, that's already him coming to South Africa.
Yeah.
Cool,
man. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's see what happens. I want to hear responses from companies now. So let's see what you get out of that. And of course, guys, I'm here. If you want us to brainstorm emails and that kind of thing, some of you have already sent me some emails. I will be getting back to you guys. Just bear with me. Give me the weekend where I can gather my thoughts around them, and then early next week, or even during the weekend, I'll shoot you a response and maybe set up a one-on-one time for us to chat. So thank you for sending me those and I will respond for sure. Cool, guys, I think we can close the session here, unless there's something pressing that you feel we must tackle quickly before we go. Otherwise, if there's nothing else, let's call it a night, guys. Thank you and have a great week.
Good evening, everyone.
And take care. Stay safe.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Skill. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys. Stay safe. See you soon. Bye.